This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's where it's at, 92.7 FM, WMDX,
good morning.
Johnny Gordy thing,
yeah,
it's happening.
Happy Monday.
It is?
Yeah.
All right, that's nice to
Weekend
know.
Weekend was just long enough.
Yeah.
I couldn't have standed it if it was another day
either.
Longer.
I know, I would not want to sleep longer in the morning, an extra day.
No.
That would just kill me.
Right. Time to get back to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, pfft. Yeah, you bet. Oh, I can't wait to start.
Okay. Sam, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right.
What are
you doing?
Everybody's got a smile on their face and a song in their heart this morning.
Oh, God.
It's...
What song do you have in your heart, Gordy?
I think I'm going into the other room.
Davida. Can we just play that for the first 17 minutes?
You know, we could.
Yeah, we could. We should try that sometime.
I don't think I've ever listened to it all the way through.
Oh, it's really good.
It's too long.
It is.
Actually, I kind of like it. Yeah. I heard the full version. I thought, you know, that's damn good.
That's why it was a hit.
Yeah. But the long version, and we talked about it before, the drum solo is actually a good drum solo.
It is, right.
So
maybe we'll play that over our Christmas break.
Yeah.
That would be good. It has nothing to do with Christmas. But
I think if we talk it up and say how great the song is, and then point out the great parts of that song, then people will listen harder, and it'll give us an excuse to play the whole damn thing.
Okay. I like it. Weather is looking very mild this morning.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
It's 41 degrees already.
What the hell is happening?
I don't know. And it's going to be even warmer later on today. Should we check the weather roulette wheel? Have we got it all dialed up and ready to go here and put the WD-40 on it? Grease it up? Okay. I can see you guys are really excited about this. Afternoon high today, black 48.
Ooh.
48 today. Yes.
All right. That sounds great. You know, I'm going to step on a limb here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it's going to be 50. Now, you know, people can mark this down.
I'm marking it
down.
They can
check it all day long and see if I'm right.
Do we know how long it's going to be before we get back to normal December temperatures?
I'm looking at the future cast here.
We're
looking at about 14 degrees this coming Thursday.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Just what I wanted.
Right.
By the way, that's the only dip in the temperature.
What?
Yeah, then it goes up to 29, 37, 38, 40, 35, and 36.
Are we going to have another winter with no snow?
I'm hoping. Because, these are chances of light snow.
On Wednesday?
On Wednesday, but then it's rain.
You're telling me you want a brown Christmas, John?
Yes.
What is wrong? Why? Why would you want that?
Because he's the curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, snow sucks.
It's because you have to get out there and shovel it,
right? Why don't you make your kids do that?
Yeah.
That's what my parents make me do.
Right. Make them do whatever
I'm home. Yeah, maybe I will. You know, maybe I will do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
they should know how to do this. What if you sprained an ankle? You know, what if your knee goes out?
I hurt my back last winter.
See?
And my son did go out and snowblow.
Okay.
And he finally learned how to do that. It was fantastic.
Well, then you should lean on him again this year.
But, you know, there was a time, and I don't know, think back now.
Yeah.
Just sit back in your easy chair.
Go back in time.
And sip your hot cup of Java in front of the fireplace as I tell this wonderful story.
Where's our harp music? Dreaming.
We don't have a heartwarming story.
Oh, you don't have one?
But here's the thing. There was a time when I was into cross-country skiing, and I looked forward to the snow. I loved having the snow around.
Mm-hmm.
And then my cross-country ski boot attachment broke, and that was it. It was gone.
You were done.
I couldn't get it replaced, or didn't want to get it replaced, and I just...
That's a sad story.
Yeah. It was awful, though. You know, when you're cross-country skiing, the point is that, you know, it should be like on flattish land.
Okay.
But if you're on a hill, it's not good. You got to go up the hill. You have to do that certain ski thing.
Yeah. You got to zigzag.
Up the hill. No, you don't zigzag. You put
your skis in like a pizza shape.
At an angle, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then that's climbing, and then you go down. But when you're going down the hill on cross-country skis, it's not as maneuverable as the broader skis that you use for downhill skiing.
Yes.
So
have you been cross-country skiing, Gordy?
I have a couple of times.
Yeah.
That was enough. There's plenty of time. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And I didn't like it.
Yeah, where did you get your skis? Did you have skis?
I just rented them somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you rent. Yeah. Sure. Yeah,
I rented them from Daryl and Jackie's place up there in Barrow Boots. No longer there.
Oh.
Ski place.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Had they still been there and you gave them this publicity, people would be waiting in line to go.
Used to be a very popular place, and you know, because it's near Devil's Head, it's near Cascade.
Yeah.
You know, it was a perfect, it was a great ski shop, but just didn't last.
But they had great ski hills.
Sure.
Ski area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all around the Baraboo Bluffs area.
Well, you know, when I went cross-country skiing, I went into Peninsula Park.
Ah.
That is a fantastic area for cross-country skiing.
I don't know Peninsula Park. Where's that?
In Door County.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, imagine that.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get to the National Day calendar because time's a wasting. We got to move on here.
Really? Couldn't put it off any further?
We're going to talk to Pam Yonke in about 10 minutes.
That's right.
We're going to talk manure with her this morning. So, you know, stay tuned for that. Is it or is it not Lutefisk Day? Is it Christmas Card Day? Is it Nostalgia Day? Is it National Pastry Day? Or is it not Weary Willy Day? Which one does not belong?
I feel sorry for anybody with that Weary Willy. Been active this weekend. Huh?
So what's your guess?
Somebody had to say it. You know,
is that your guess?
I don't know. Why did I even have to say that?
Sam, apparently John is giving up. He's abstaining today.
It's not Nostalgia Day. I'm going to take that guess.
You are correct,
all
sir.
Right.
It is not Nostalgia Day. Oh. Well, why would we need a Nostalgia Day?
So what is Weary Willy Day all
well,
about?
Well, let's go right to that. It's about clowning.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, clowns.
Clowns.
Kids either love them or they're scared out of their minds. Weary Willy Day on December 9th recognizes the art of clowning and the impact it has on our lives.
Oh, my God.
Wow. This holiday was named for the character made famous by Emmett Kelly. You remember Emmett Kelly? He was born on this day in 1898. We're old enough to remember Emmett Kelly, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yes.
Weary Willy was had a sad. He had a sad face.
That's his.
That was Emmett Kelly.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, he had that name.
I mean, who would have guessed we would have progressed to something like
what?
What is who? It?
Bozo the Clown.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, that's a scary movie.
Now, if you haven't seen that movie,
yeah.
I mean, you're missing it. It's a fantastic film.
Is that one of your favorite?
It's one
Christmas
of my favorite
films.
No, it's not a Christmas film.
Okay,
but it's like going to the carnival, and you'll never want to go to another carnival again.
Okay, it's Lutefisk Day. Okay, move right along. I'm not a fan of that. Christmas Card Day. I think this is a day that you better get your Christmas cards in by today. Or maybe they won't get wherever they're
John,
going.
John, do you and your family send Christmas cards out? You get your family all dressed up, go to get a nice picture taken?
You know, if we did send Christmas cards, they wouldn't be going out this year.
No?
Why? No, I think our Christmas dinner prove that point right away.
Oh, with your family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not doing it, huh?
Yeah, their wait and see thing, you know, after voting for Trump. Oh, we'll wait and see how that turns out.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
It's nice.
It's National Pastry Day. Let's get some pastries here.
Yes.
You know, let's move to the history book because we got Pam Yonke, you know, in about 5 minutes. So can we open up the history book here?
We can open up the book.
Oh, no. Look out. Oh, Sam, run away. Oh, it's coming in here now.
Got nice and dusty over the weekend. Gosh. Hoo-ah.
Yeah.
What do we got here?
What have we got?
December 9th, today in 1868, the very first traffic lights were installed.
Oh, what a day that
in London. They took them out a month later, though, because they didn't have electricity in 1868, so they were powered by gas. There was a gas explosion in one of the lamps. Because they didn't work too well.
First stoplight exploded.
The gas lamps exploded.
Yeah.
You know, I remember seeing them explode in some horror movie.
Yeah.
You know,
really?
Taking place in London. Uh-huh, yeah, they blew up. I was wondering, what's that about? Right. And there it is.
There you go.
Historical.
All right. What else?
I don't think we even mentioned it, but last Friday was the date that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer first aired on TV. That was like the first of the big Christmas TV specials. Well, another one debuted on this day in 1965. Charlie Brown Christmas.
That is a fantastic show.
It is. Yep. Wonderful.
I'll never forget their dance routine on stage.
I know.
They just go back and forth. Yeah.
Jumping around and bopping back and forth.
But everybody had a different style of dancing. Right. It's so cool.
Yeah,
they could just duplicate that at a party. I'd love to do that.
Mm-hmm. Today in 1979, the World Health Organization declared smallpox had been eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. I think to date, the only human disease that has been eradicated, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you say so, it doesn't seem right.
Are there more? Am I wrong?
Maybe.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, we'll wait for RFK Jr. to take care of that one.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's got it. He's got it all taken care of. Yeah. He's going to get rid of every disease ever, right?
Right.
You betcha. Okay. Anything else in the history books or no? That's it.
If you want to mention it, sure. You know the John Birch Society? The infamous John Birch Society?
Big social club.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all a bunch of friends, right?
Right.
John Birch Society was founded today in 1958.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Well,
very good.
You know, definitely still around today.
Yes.
Alive and well in some of the other conservative groups that are out there.
Yep. Hey, a little bit later on in our 7 o'clock hour, we will launch our Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Oh, boy. Where do you hear about this? And Pam Yonke from Midwest Farm Report right around the corner.
That's right.
On John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX.
It is 6:21, 41 degrees. Listening to the drum solo from Inagata De Vita. We'll get to Pam Yonke in about another 17 minutes. Oh no! She's on the phone right now. Good morning, Pam Yonke.
That reminds me of Bad Neighbors when I was in college.
Yes. Who played and turned that baby up for 17
oh,
minutes.
Oh, my God.
Those were the days. Yeah,
it was.
Have you learned that part of the song yet? Yes.
But, you know, Pam, we were talking, it's probably one of the best drum solos in any of the songs that we've ever heard back in those days, you know?
Well, I guess. I can't say that I've got much of an ear for the critical parts of a drum solo. To me, it just ended up giving me a throbbing headache after right. so long, so I yes. didn't really pay a lot of attention, to be honest with you guys.
I guess that you hinted at that when you said, you know, Bad Neighbors.
Yeah, all the bands had drum yeah. solos back then, even yeah. the local bands.
Oh, man.
All right, all right, so Midwest Farm Report. Let's see, what's at the top of the agenda here?
The top of the agenda is milk testing. That's the whole thing. It's going on nationwide, except for right here in Wisconsin. Is that right?
Well, it's nationwide, and basically what they've decided is they're going to start with 6 states that they want to monitor just a little closely. Now, bear in mind that a big chunk of the United States has gone unscathed from H5N1, which is the kind of acronym that's been given to the bird flu / dairy influenza that's really hit a lot of, for example, California still got like over 250 cases within their borders. They're probably the one that everybody is monitoring most closely and paying attention to. But USDA decided that they want to try to get a little bit more their arms around what H5N1 in dairy is. It's not anything that causes any harm to humans. It's just one of those deals where after we learned what we learned during the pandemic, if we learned anything, they want to monitor it, see if anything is changing. So basically, there are 5 states, make that 6 states, Colorado, California, Michigan, Oregon, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, that are involved in the initial stages of testing. Now, what they're going to do is go to the milk plants and run samples just to see if there's any detection of H5N1 out there. Now, remember, H5N1 is killed when they go through the homogenization pasteurization process.
Right.
So there's no health concerns that way. But again, scientists want to dive a little deeper into, are we seeing any changes in that milk, even the little corpus delicti that are left behind after the process? Is there anything we're learning from that? So, like I said, Wisconsin, my number one point, Wisconsin has not had any H5N1 in our dairy animals at all, period. We're continuing ongoing testing of lactating milking cows that leave the state or come into the state. That's the age group they're concentrating. So we're in the clear, but I thought it was worth bringing up in case people see the headline and start wigging out and saying, wait, why weren't they talking about that? Well, now we did.
That's right. Isn't California one of the leading milk makers in the country as well?
Oh, yeah. Yep, they're number one ahead of us.
All right.
Yep. So we're watching with great interest how they manage their way through this, because, again, that's one of those places where they were also emphasizing that human workers had showed signs of exposure to the bird flu just because they were milking. Obviously, they're in pretty close. I don't know if you guys milked a cow lately, but you do have to get kind of close to her to get that task done. So.
Yeah, she loves being
they don't
close.
Wanna, yeah, if they aren't wearing protective gear, then that can turn into an issue, obviously. So.
Well, something to keep in mind, too, the RFK Jr. wants to have raw milk available in supermarkets.
Wow.
So, good thing.
Not in this regard at all. And I know there's a lot of advocates out there that are still battling for their opportunity to have that. But I'll tell you what, folks, this is one of those cases where sticking to science, i.e. Cooking your meat and pasteurizing the product that way is probably going to serve you far better than the idea of what raw milk can do for you.
That's the way to go. So, Pam, it kind of warmed up over the weekend, and it's going to be in the 40s today, and there's that certain aroma drifting across Dairyland, right?
And hello to our dairy air. And I noticed it. And it didn't really matter where you were across the state of Wisconsin. Farmers are trying to do what they can to capitalize on that beautiful warm weather and pump out the pits and make sure that all that nutrient is out there on the field. And I wanted to tell the folks that, you know, there are very, very strict guidelines as far as what farmers can and can't do with manure applications and that. And there's a new app that's been developed on the UW-Madison app campus. Mm. And basically what it does is they plug it in and it will tell the driver of the machine, whether it's a tractor or an applicator, exactly where it can and can't go. In fact, it'll make the wheel vibrate on some of the tractors and tell them basically you're too close, that kind of thing.
That's
the
cool.
only part that disappoints me, yeah, the only part that disappoints me, boys, is all this technology, all this information, all this guidance, and the best they could come up with was Menorah app. So I wholeheartedly believe that there should be a hook in a name when it comes to trying to get farmers and their partners to use it. And Menorah app just isn't doing it. No, you know, crap app, could that catch on? Well, maybe the audience has a couple other ideas.
Yeah, why don't we take calls on that?
Could
be. All morning.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So this app tells the driver of the tractor or whatever exactly where the poo is supposed to go. Is that idea of the app?
It's all GPS.
Yeah.
It's all GPS. So imagine those little cars that you used to drive as a kid that could go all over the place. Just imagine that the eye in the sky is telling it exactly where to go, and if it gets too close to a mud puddle, it veers away. It does the same thing for that technology in the cab. In the hand, literally, the wheel will start to vibrate if the driver gets too close
to a
sensitive area.
That's excellent. Yeah, you don't want to get too close to the edge of the fields if you're applying the
too close
manure
to the edge of anything in that.
I guess you're right.
But I do think that the name just suffering terribly. I'm not pleased with the name.
You like the
so
crap
right.
app. We'll have to ask our listeners
we'll
to come
with
up
that.
With something. Pam, we are all out of time for today. We appreciate it. That's Pam Yockey.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Have a great day.
Have a good week, boys.
Yep. You too.
Yep.
All right.
It's Pam Yockey from Midwest Farm Report.
And we'll talk to her again on Friday.
Yep. Back with more of John and Gordy in the morning in just a couple of minutes.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
You know, Grapehead is becoming very popular in the area now. 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
6:35, it's 41 degrees, highs close to 50 by later this afternoon. John Peterson has predicted they will reach 50.
50, yes, check your temperatures today.
Okay.
Just to make sure, you know, I'm just taking a chance on this.
Yeah, because the National Weather Service is saying 48.
Yeah, but
you think they're wrong.
I just got a feeling it'll get a little bit warmer. Okay. That's it, you know.
Coming up after 7 o'clock, we will launch our Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text-to-Win Contest. Wow, there are some great prizes. I'll tell you about them in a little while.
Really? You're going to wait?
They have 8 grand prizes, John.
Oh,
8.
Okay, all right.
You really want me to tell you about it now?
No, I'm on the edge of my chair, you know, just jumping at the bit here.
Okay. There's all kinds of things. One of these, I know you'd like to win, but you're not eligible.
Oh.
Yeah. You're going to have a couple of robot vacuum cleaners.
Yes, you know what? I was talking about that the other day.
No. Yeah, there's also a snowblower,
luggage
set. These are some of the grand prizes, really big stuff. And so we'll get into that contest after 7 o'clock.
All right. Sounds fantastic. If you could.
Yes.
And I'm talking to Sam right now. If you could look up Cut 17, Steve Rattner. All you have to do is look for that, and you'll find it someplace.
Okay. Okay. We usually see him on MSNBC yes. talking about the charts and the graphs. And
yeah, he knows everything about the economy. He's a fantastic person to convey that kind of information to everybody. On the Morning Joe show, even though everybody's abandoned the show.
Yes, since they went to kiss the ring.
But at least go there, at least see Steve Rattner and you know what he has to offer up, right?
Yes. By the way, phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. 255, or you can text us on the Civic Media app.
We want your suggestions for the app that Pam Yonke told us all about that tells farmers where to put their manure.
Right. Yes, you can send in those suggestions. We'll share them with everybody.
Yeah, it's the manure app.
Yeah. She suggested Crap App.
The
which
Crap
I thought,
app.
Pam, you know, she's right on
good,
top
man.
Of it.
Yeah. That's really good. That's but if good. You have another suggestion, just feel free to text us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we could take you live on the air with this stuff. You know, I can go out on a limb for at least the high temperature for today,
well, they
but
should
that
have,
I'm not going to go out on a limb
They should have
for.
A better name for this. Come on. Somebody's got to have a better name for them. The Poo app, whatever they, I don't know. What do they call it
the
now?
The Poo app.
Poo app. Poo app. Pwap.
Pwap.
Kind of sounds like it. And never mind.
All right.
Okay.
Well, hey, did you find that
cut? Oh, we already got it.
Steve Rattner?
Matt from Middleton has the poopy planner.
Hey, I like that. Poopy planner. All right. Let's put that down. Why don't we get to Steve Rattner? This is an interesting cut. He was taking a look at the real economy, the economy that no one knows about and no one remembered when they went to vote for Trump. What was the economy really like under Biden? Bidenomics, what was that all about, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it seemed like it was going pretty well, but no one thought so. In fact, the majority of people felt like the economy wasn't doing so well. I guess we got to go by feel
feelings.
Like now. Yeah.
Feelings.
Yeah, the feelings.
Morris Albert thing.
So, well, let's find out what Steve offered up a while back to tell us about that economy.
Put this in a little historical perspective, and we're going to compare the U.S. to the other major economies of the world. And you go back to 1980, you can see the growth rates weren't all that different. But around the 2000 period, we just took off, and we left them in the dust. We've continued to leave them in the dust. And in fact, the IMF last week came out with new projections that show that our growth is going to accelerate even more relative to these other countries. And let me also, though, since we are going to have an election next week, do a scorecard here on the last two presidents. Donald Trump thinks this economy is in the toilet. In fact, under Joe Biden, it grew faster than it did under Donald Trump. 3.1% average GDP growth under Biden, 2.8% under Trump. And this corrects for all the COVID things. These are straight down the middle of the fairway numbers. And then you can see that growth, in fact, has turned into a much stronger economic performance for average Americans. GDP per capita is a way to think about standard of living. Not perfect measure, but it's directionally right. You can see that we generate $74,000 of GDP per person, and that has doubled over this period of time.
Hmm.
And then you can, and no other country has come close to that. Oh. 54,000, 54,000, 46,000. And so from 1983 to 2023, we doubled this. And we are, again, as you said earlier, the envy of the world when it comes to the standard of living that Americans have.
Oh, well, all right. Well, that's the way it was. We'll see now. Of course, you know, as soon as he won the election, Trump declared everything much better now. It feels better.
For him, under him.
Yeah.
But he hasn't taken office yet.
See, the thing that I don't get is this talk about, you know, the feeling of the country. People didn't think it was. How do we appeal to that? And, you know, it's not a real thing. It's what you feel. Instead of reality, you're going by your feelings about what somebody else said about the economy.
Yes. Well, and, you know, and according to a report I heard over the weekend here, if job creation continues on its current trajectory through January, Joe Biden will be the first president under whom the economy has added jobs every single month he was in office.
Wow.
The first president ever to have jobs added every single month he was in office.
We can throw that out the window. Okay, let's just throw that one out the window.
Really?
Cut 14 Daily Show.
Yeah.
Peacetime President. Look for that because I never got a chance to play this, but they put together an accumulated list of times when Trump said he was going to be the peacetime president, okay? And okay. So let's check that out.
Do we have
this
that?
Is an old one. It's yeah. taking me a second to
No, that's
out.
Fine. I thought you were
Sam,
yeah.
wake up. I think Sam dozed off there for a
I
second.
I didn't no.
Yeah,
no.
He was sleeping.
This is a month and a half old, John.
It's Monday.
We got it. We got it.
Okay.
You know what we'll get with Donald Trump? A largely peaceful, stable world.
We are going to blow your largest cities and the country itself to yeah. smithereens.
He is going to get us out of these endless wars.
We have to bomb the hell out of them.
Peace throughout the world.
I'm going to bomb the shit out of them.
In fact, he's an anti-war guy.
Should we declare war?
I think so. Why not?
President Trump brought historic peace to the entire world. He brought peace to the Middle East.
Yes. President Trump ordering the U.S. to, quote, drop the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan.
Peace a stable time. Peace plan that was working and no one was dying.
Civilian deaths increased 330%.
We had peace from Kim Jong-un.
The president also threatened a war with nuclear North Korea, tweeting, yeah. I too have a nuclear button.
When he talks about war, he talks about it the way any moral person should.
When you get these terrorists, you have to take out their families.
And we know that beautiful. From his own presidency, that it was a peacetime presidency.
There was a raid in Yemen that Donald Trump approved. One American was killed.
He actually has a realistic and cautious foreign policy.
In all caps, the president tweeting at President Rouhani, never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before.
We are not wow. the policemen of the world.
No. Trump floated the idea of launching missiles into Mexico.
How many wars? Zero. None. Zip.
Four U.S. soldiers killed God. 12 days ago in Niger.
And if you're voting for Donald Trump, you're voting for peace and stability.
Yes. Former President Trump is reportedly planning to send kill teams to the border if reelected.
Peace and stability goes hand in hand with President Donald Trump.
Yes. President Trump suggested on multiple occasions disrupting the storms by dropping a nuke into the middle of them.
That's perfect.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well,
peacetime and peace weather time.
Peacetime president. Yep. A
few contradictions right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Who knows what's going to happen now? I guess it's just a wait and see thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. A wait and see. That's it. That's
yeah,
the mantra.
That's the mantra here on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing some texts here. One says, careful, John, you might hurt the feelings of the folks who voted for Trump for bringing facts to bear. Yeah, you don't want to bring up facts.
No,
and truth. And
I think we should just go by right? feelings.
Feelings.
You know, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Our impressions of the economy. Honestly, you know, there's this debate in the Democratic side of the aisle, and they're trying to think, well, how do we counter the feelings that people have about the economy? What do we say to change their feelings about it? Well, how about the facts? Oh, no, you can't give people facts.
Don't go there.
No, you don't want to do that because that, mm-hmm. Their eyes just glaze over.
Yes.
Right? But,
yeah.
Well, and we talked.
What are you going
to
do?
And we talked to Mike McCabe about that too.
Right.
And he also says, you know, you can't give them the facts because they feel a certain way, and it's their impressions. It's how they feel about the economy, and we're talking individually how they feel individually about the economy,
mm-hmm.
and we can't sit there and summarize it and say, well, you should feel this way because then it's condescending and talking down to them.
Right. Yeah, when you just throw out nothing but facts and, you know.
Their eyes glaze over. They don't
exactly.
care. They don't care.
Doesn't register.
Right. Yeah. Or that's from a different source, like the news media, which no one can believe anymore. So they go to the alternative news media, which for some reason they do want to believe.
Right.
Which isn't factual at all. My head is spinning. I can't do this anymore.
Come on, you can do it.
What? All right. Let's get it. You know, we were talking about milk, right?
Yes.
And being tested for the bird flu. I've got a little story here. You can't make this up either.
Okay.
Our RFK Jr.'s favorite brand of raw milk had been suspended from manufacturing
because
they found the bird flu in it.
Okay.
Yes. That's right.
Because it was
milk.
Not
it's
pasteurized.
Raw milk. Right. They
doesn't
found
go
bird
through the process.
Flu in his favorite milk.
That's kind of why they have pasteurization. to get rid of that kind of
stuff. So will the stupidity ever end? I didn't mention that. It's kind of an older story, but
I saw a screenshot of a Reddit thread a while back. There's a subreddit dedicated to like raw milk and like quote unquote whole foods sort of stuff where you take things straight from nature or whatever. And these people were talking about how they accidentally rediscovered pasteurization. They were like, "You guys, we can get rid of like any bacteria in the milk if you just heat it up until it starts to simmer, mm-hmm. and then you cool it back down,
yes.
and then it's safe to drink." And they had no idea that this is what pasteurization was.
They just think
you learn something
new
every day.
They just think we do it for the heck of it. Right. It's the same thing, you know, with getting rid of a lot of the government regulations, you know, mm-hmm. or the government departments for that matter.
Yeah,
they act like
they don't
just
need them.
We just created them because we wanted bigger government.
Yeah.
No, there was a need for that department. There was a need for that rule or regulation. We don't just make it up to make it more complicated, although when they do make up the rules, they do kind of make them complicated. But that's not the point. The point is that the government grows as the economy grows, as businesses grow.
And as the population.
As new things come into the economy grows, and then we have to add to it and kind of maneuver a little bit with our government. Right now, they think, well, none of that's necessary. If we could just cut everything back and let everybody just do what they want to do.
Yeah, well, Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, that's what they're going to do with their new Department of Efficiency.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the Department of Efficiency. They need two people to do this.
That's it. Just the two of them.
It's not even that. They're hiring extra people to help them out on this thing.
Ah,
so this thing is like runaway. Right, we're gonna be talking about this in about a year, and it's, oh man, can you imagine how much money they ended up spending? Oh my goodness!
Well, they're billionaires. You know, they're all, you know, six or eight of the cabinet proposed people are billionaires. So
that's
true. They don't think about the money.
No, yeah, they
there's
don't.
Plenty of money.
They don't.
To
in fact,
do these things.
You know, Vivek, he wasn't a big fan of Elon.
No.
No. And I've got that coming up in just a moment. Really? I know that we got to take a break here, but he went on a rant. Well, we've got a compilation of comments from Vivek.
Oh, good.
About Elon.
Yeah, and Elon and Trump may have had a little tiff over in Paris, France.
Yes.
You see this?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They don't know what it's about yet, but apparently they had some words.
Well, it's probably, you know, Elon
like,
wanted
out
to
of
be
my
president
way.
Himself.
Right. 6:49, back with more of John and Gordy in just a moment or two.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, and we're talking about how great a relationship it is with Vivek and Elon.
Wouldn't you like to just be a fly on the wall while they're talking?
Yeah.
And see what the...
Knowing, of course, what they used to say about each other, but have at least Vivek telling everybody what he used to think of Elon. So
really?
Why don't we check that out?
Okay.
All right.
I think Tesla is increasingly beholden to China. I have no reason to think that Elon won't jump like a circus monkey when Xi Jinping calls in the hour of need.
Elon Musk has, I think, demonstrated his willingness to change his political tunes based on the favors that he gets to be able to do business in China.
I think some of his recent comments about Taiwan suggest as much, where he says that Taiwan should become a special administrative region of China, annexed to China. Well, guess what? He got a nice attaboy on the back, a little pat on the back when his Shanghai factory and regulator in China gave him a nice little tax break within days after him having made that comment about Taiwan.
Tesla's popular in a different way here because of the cult around Elon, but actually is effectively beholden to China in a different way I was a little concerned watching Elon Musk's, Shanghai, what they call Master Plan 3, is literally what their name of it was for production of a bunch of the master of the megapack batteries that are designed to eventually power an electric grid in Shanghai. I think Tesla is increasingly beholden to China. I have no reason to think Elon won't jump like a circus monkey when Xi Jinping calls in the hour of need.
Now, isn't he sweet? Isn't he just a sweet
a nice
man?
Guy.
He really, I'm a big fan, huge fan of Elon. Yeah. All right.
They're getting along fine now. Though.
Well, I'm thinking by now they've at least, patched things up, right?
Ironed out their differences.
Oh, That's right. Yeah, this was probably one of the funniest moments. This happened last week. This is fantastic stuff. Yeah, Fox News is just out with this breaking news. Brace for it, because this is some real bombshell stuff here. So this is cut 37.
Okay.
And this actually happened, and you can't make this stuff up. Play it.
Well, now to this. Hunter Biden spotted for the first time since his controversial pardon, seen smiling. Why not? Got away with something else in his life, right?
There he is, screen left right there.
Insane. Listen to this.
Lucas Tomlinson's at the White House with the latest. Hey, Lucas.
Good morning, Ainsley. Where do you go when you receive a presidential pardon? Well, Arby's, of course. We just have this new video into Fox showing Hunter Biden, as you mentioned, smiling after receiving that presidential pardon from his father, which wasn't just for the tax and gun charge, but, of course, the 11-year period he's off. And there you can see, smiling after leaving the Arby's in Santa Barbara.
He went to an Arby's and he was smiling.
The president's son knows where to go to celebrate. Arby's is probably the place, expensive place to go.
They got the meats. So he was smiling. He was hungry.
Just to see it, though. I mean, they had pictures of him smiling. He can't smile.
Of course they do.
My God.
Yeah, it's so surprising. Both of you just about fell off your chairs when he said that.
Yeah. Oh, man. What the heck?
Oh, my goodness.
How could he smile over something like that? Mm-hmm. He's not supposed to smile, at least not for the next year.
Right.
All right. Not on camera,
be
anyway.
Cool.
All right. So why don't we get into something a little crazy here? This was a hearing in regards to the assassination attempt in Butler, and it didn't go well because a Republican was grilling this guy, and he was actually the Secret Service director.
Okay.
And he was grilling him, and he'd used 9/11 for some reason. Let's play this.
Actually, let me address this. Could you please, staff, leave that one up with the circle around me. Thank you. So actually, Congressman, what you're not seeing is the sack of the detail out of the picture's view. And that is the day where we remember the more than 3,000 people that have died on 9/11. I actually responded to Ground Zero.
Wow.
I was there going through the ashes of the World Trade Center.
What a man.
I was there at Fresh Kills.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, Congressman, were you the special agent in charge?
To show respect
you not.
For a Secret Service
a
member that died on 9/11.
Oh, that you're trying to be.
Do not invoke 9/11 for political purposes.
Oh, I'm not. I'm invoking this.
You are, sir.
Gentlemen,
no, you are out of line.
I would like to ask him a question. Please.
You are out of line.
Order me. Don't try to bully me. I'm an elected member of Congress, and I'm asking you a serious question, and you are playing politics.
I am a public servant who has served this nation, and
you won't answer the question.
On our day, on our country's darkest day,
the committee will come to order.
I'm asking
you serious questions for the American people, and they're very simple. They're not trick questions. Were you the special agent in charge that day?
No, I wasn't. I was there representing the United States Secret Service, sir.
Mr. Fallon, your time's expired.
Did not affect protective
operations. No, you were there because you wanted to be visible because you are distancing for this job.
I was there to pay respect for a fallen member of this agency.
You endangered President
Biden's life. Congressman.
Vice President Harris's life because you put those agents out of position.
Because
you have a radio with you.
Mr. Fallon, your time has expired.
No, I did, sir, and you are out of line.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Take a sedative.
Nice, guys, wasn't that come on. Else?
Those are the kind of hearings we're going to be getting in the next 4 years, by the way.
Can't wait.
Because, you know, the Republicans, when they do these questions, they actually have the answers themselves. They don't really need the witness there to answer these questions. They're going to fill it in and give the answers they want. And exactly. That's what happened there with 9/11. Mm-hmm. My God. Jeez. Take it easy.
Yes, time to take a break. Take a chill break, guys. All right. Okay. Coming up.
Will do.
Right around the corner, we'll launch the grown-up gift list text to win contest from Civic Media on the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.